Hello and welcome to the Voice of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week you will hear about how you can connect, develop and trust your intuition. Through the wonderful array of guests we have on the show and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to the Voice of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane and I'm your host for the podcast. Now today we've got someone very special on. This lady is a business coach, but she's got that beautiful spiritual depth to her. And I really like that. We find sometimes we have those spiritual coaches, we have spiritual coaches that really work on that side of things. And then we have business coaches that tend to work on just the business side of things. But with Katrina, she has got that beautiful balance of both. Now, her focus is on that business side of it, but the business side that resonates with you, that makes you feel good. And it's a lot of the talk today we're going to be talking about is about your side hustle or your side business. And that's what I really like. I'm really looking forward to this because, hey, I could get a few tips and tricks from this one. So I want to welcome Katrina to the podcast. Come on board, Katrina.
Oh, hello. How nice to see you. Oh, my gosh. Thanks so much for having me. How fun. We're going to have so much fun. Let's go.
Oh, yeah. Look out. We do that. And Katrina, whereabouts are you based?
I'm based in Yumina Beach on the central coast about an hour north of Sydney, where I was born and bred.
Ah, so Sydney girl. Okay,
yes, cool. Sydney girl.
Oh, that's wonderful. All right, well, look, I'm gonna get stuck straight into it because there's lots of questions. And look, please forgive me if I tend to focus on myself. It's not that way inclined. It's more about the only questions I can ask sort of I need to have an understanding of. So I'm going to ask you, I'm going to do some really hard hitting questions. Oh, listen to me, right.
Okay, Oprah, get into it.
So it's going to be wonderful. But I really like this idea of the side business. I've often seen it when we talk about entrepreneurs and things like that, people will often say, oh, just chuck in your day job and go for it. You know, you've got to do that. And I sort of go, no, that's, we still have to live. We still have to make money to survive. So what I really liked about how you're looking at it and how you focus on it is the fact that hold on to your full-time job or your part-time job or that job that's bringing some money in, and let's get that side hustle working. Let's get that side business moving so we can transition over if that's what we choose to do. So that's sort of the talk in a nutshell. But what I want to know, first of all, how on earth did you get from point A to point B, where you are today?
I didn't listen to my intuition. That's how it all started. So about, oh, gosh, it's over 25 years ago, I was in my last job and I saw this ad in the newspaper and it was very advanced and it caught my attention because it was an ad in full colour. And so it said that, you know, to have your own business as a coach. And I looked at that ad and it felt like to me it had my name written on it. It was for me. So, of course, I listened to my intuition because I'm very intuitive. And I met with the guy, and the guy I met with was very strange and unusual. My intuition was screaming, no, 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 this is not for you, this is not for you, this is not for you. I didn't listen to that. I signed up. I paid $30,000. Once I got into the program, this training sort of program, this development program, they had nothing, absolutely nothing was built, nothing. And all the group started to talk amongst themselves and sort of started to say, have you seen anything? Have you seen anything? Then we sort of realized that it was a bit of a scam. It was a bit of a dodgy situation. And I went to my lawyers and it was a barrister friend that saw me. And he said, I'll ask you a question. Have you learnt a $30,000 lesson? And in that moment when he asked me the question, it was like the Matrix. It was like every cell in my body changed. And I said to him, actually, I have. And he goes, great, because you can throw more money after it. You can try and win the case. You can spend a lot of time and money on this, and you probably will win. But it'll cost you $15,000 to get the $30,000 back, which he probably doesn't have. He's already spent it. So, you know, good money after bad. And so I said to myself, I have learned a $30,000 lesson, and that was that I could do it myself and that I had all the skills, all the training that I've done over the years was all sitting there waiting to be ignited. And so that was the first experience of listening to my intuition one minute and then not listening to it the next, still going ahead. But at the same time, the intuition probably already knew what I was going to do. It knew there was going to be this big lesson in there for me. And the lesson was it gave me confidence to show me where I was at in the market compared to him. There was him saying, I'm an expert, I'm fantastic, I'm amazing, I've got all this stuff. He had nothing. So what I did was I ended up developing a program so packed with value in response to what happened to me when I started. So in a way, I'm kind of almost, overgiving and making sure that people get exactly what they need in every aspect of starting a business. So that's why I do what I do and why my program is what it is. It's because I had that experience and that was not a great start. But it did put me on a trajectory of saying, all right, Katrina, if you're going to do this and you're going to be in business for yourself, you really have to be in tune with what is yours, what is not yours, and who you're meant to work with and who you're not meant to work with. So, yeah, the journey began.
Yeah, I know exactly what you meant. I did. Mine wasn't quite as costly as yours, but mine was a $5,000 one. Yeah. And I did exactly the same. Went in there, you know, and they had nothing. They had absolutely nothing. It was such a scam. And, yeah, exactly the same. Wow. And I did know a lady who did chase it, and she did go through all the court case and everything else to get her money back. But I think I did what you just did, and it was like, well, it was a learning curve because, like you say, we're learning all the time. It's got to get to the stage where you go, enough learning, let's start doing.
Yeah, exactly. I'm all about the doing, all about the action, and a lot of clients come to me with 20 certificates. They've been a lifelong student, and, in fact, we are all lifelong students. I like to call my people activated lifelong learners. That puts us in the top 10% of the world because everyone else is a 90%er. They're a lifelong learner. They're going to learn and grow just by default. Whereas 10%ers, activated lifelong learners, we're proactive with our development. Now, anyone that wants to start a business or do something on the side, they tend to be in that category because they've got a bit of get up and go and make it happen energy. They've probably got the entrepreneurial spirit singing to them, and their intuition is part of that. The intuition is talking to you. It's a biofeedback machine. So it's constantly talking to you, saying whether you're happy or not, whether this is the right thing or not for you. I think the problem is with intuition is it's inspirational. It's maybe motivational. It might get you to go and think about things from there to there, but it doesn't give you the how-to. And business is probably one of the best personal and professional development programs you will ever do. When you start your business, you're committing to a journey of discovery because nobody knows everything about business. And marketing, if you just take marketing alone and all the technology that's developed over the last 25 years that I've personally seen come in, you just learn and grow as it happens. It's constant moving feast. It's constantly transforming. And that's what makes business really interesting. It there always requires more from you, always. And so you've just got to accept that and know that it's just going to be this fabulous learning experience one day after another. You'll learn on so many different levels. So your customers, your clients will teach you so much. Your suppliers will teach you so much. The systems that you use will teach you so much of what you do and don't like, what works, what doesn't work. And so, you know, you're learning all the time from every different angle and constantly checking in with your intuition to see, is this still right for me? Because every sort of 5 years, there's going to be even sort of 7 years, maybe, if you want to look at it from that cycle's point of view, is always looking at the next transformation. Now, if I showed you my business journey, you'll see it was developing different brands as I went along, and then I'd consolidate. And then suddenly I was developing different brands, and then I'd consolidate. And then over the years, becoming the expert, particularly after COVID, really came in and started to become, instead of 20% of my business, it became 80% of my business. Before, I was doing all my corporate training, speaking, executive coaching in the sort of corporate market, and I get a lot of clients through that. So before COVID, it was 80-20, and now it's 20-80, and it's really fascinating to see how that shifted and how much I love that. I really love it. It's intuitively correct for me.
Yes, and that's the whole thing. It's until we do it, we're going through those paths and we're testing them and trying those different areas and getting a couple of slaps and sort of going, you know, you meant to be doing that and you didn't. It doesn't. And again, you don't stop learning, but you continuously learn and you keep on going. And what you've got now, like you say, you've got your 80-20, but that's not going to, you know, you're not going to stop there. You're going to keep going because, like you say, technology is changing. You don't have a choice. You either give it up or you evolve with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like my business before COVID was mainly based in Australia with a couple of people from overseas. But through COVID and the use of Zoom, my business now is very international. I've got people working with me in Germany and London, and I've got clients in the US, and I've got clients, the list is long as to where people are located in the world. My favorite at the moment is Sweden. So it's just wonderful to work internationally, Zoom, and we thank COVID for that. COVID, while it was so bad in one way, it was so wonderful in another. And I think intuition is really wonderful to check in with, how was your perception of COVID? Because we can choose to make COVID a real devastation for us. Who did we lose? You know, there was so much loss, there was so much sickness, there was so much fear. Yes, there was that. But then you can also look at it, any of these big changes, any of these big transformations globally that happen, that there is always a silver lining that we can either see or not see. And for me, COVID was a blessing. It transformed my business into a true global, international thing, whereas I don't need to travel as much anymore. People still from Australia come up and do their kickoff with me at my home, and that's wonderful. Or I might travel to them and do their kickoff in their home or in a beautiful Airbnb, however we want it. Those gifts are there. But I love that the majority of my business is now all online, and my dog and I just spend the day together doing our work. It's just wonderful. I love it.
It's broken down barriers, hasn't it?
It's just completely.
Yeah, which is really, that's what I found. But I want to ask you a little bit more about business intuition and, what is business intuition? There you go. There's a good question. What is business intuition?
To me, it's actually having all things aligned. So you've got your heart, your soul, your intuition, your higher self, whatever you want to call it or however it is named for you, that's the centerpiece, the center of your heart, coming back to the center of your heart. That will always be talking to you. And then you've got your gut instincts, and your gut instincts will tell you this and that. So your gut is very strong for me. So I've always had good gut intuition or good gut instinct. But then you've also got your mind, and your mind is obviously every cell in your body, but, you know, mind, third eye. See, the third eye is here, and that will give you a sense of future. So when you combine your third eye with your heart center and your gut, you'll pretty much be able to tell if that thing is for you or not, or what, you know, if something's a bit off. Some one of those three things will be talking to you. So either your gut will say, no way, this person is not to be trusted. And then you go, okay, well, I'm just going to ignore that. What does my heart say? And then the heart says, oh, but from an ego, you know, I want to do it because, you know, it'll give me status, or I want to be seen with that person, or that's my heart's desire and please let me do it, please. And then we go up into the brain and we sort of say from a mental perspective, but to go over there, it's going to cost $2,500. Do you have that money right now? Is that the best use of $2,500? How could that money be spent in a different way? And so when you have those three different type of conversations, you'll make better decisions in business. Whereas what I see happens, particularly with spiritual people, is they just check in with their heart's desires and they just go, oh, my God, I just want to create a business and I want to be global and I want to do all this stuff and I'm going to be a millionaire and I'm going to be a huge influencer and I'm going to do all of that. That's great. Now what? You've actually got to do that.
You know what you've just said? What you've just said is basically you are grounding those people and giving them action steps to take to achieve what they want, because we can connect with our heart and it's like, oh, this is what I want to do. And you know, when you were talking about where you went into that business side of it, you paid the $30,000. I paid $5,000, and I remember thinking, we didn't not read the signs. The signs were there. That's what we were supposed to be doing. Would you believe mine was public speaking? Oh, dear. Yeah. And so that's what we were supposed to be doing, but we didn't read the sign properly to go, hang on, or we didn't connect with our head, like you said, and go, well, hang on, is this realistic? Is this, you know, are we really going to get what you are wanting to achieve from that? Is this trying to swallow that little pill to make everything work properly? Or do we need to actually go back down and go, let's ground it, let's find that proper action steps to take so we do achieve that? Because too often we're in our hearts, but majority of times we're actually up in the sky. Like, we're not grounded. We sort of, when you were saying it, it all came, you just visualized it. It was like, I want to be this, I want to be that. And you're throwing your hands up. For those who are on the podcast and not seeing this, Katrina was throwing her arms up and it was like nothing was grounded. Everything she said was thrown into the sky. Nothing was grounded. And that is when we start to go, well, hang on, we've got to ground this. What are the steps we need to take to ground it? Now, if you go through a business coach that isn't spiritually minded, they're going to maybe give you the steps to take, but they may not be in line with who you really are. And that's the difference with Katrina. She will make sure those steps are in line. She will slap you around if you don't do it, but she will make sure, no, she won't, that those those steps are in line with who you are. So that's the difference there. And I really like that. I like the fact that we can see those signs, and it's really nice to look at the symbols and everything else, but we've got to read them properly. We've got to check in with other parts of the body, check in with other aspects of us to make sure they are right. So I really enjoy that. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to go, we're talking about the steps where we're taking. Also, for those that are on the podcast too, to connect with Katrina, you need to go to her Australian website. It's becomingtheexpert.com.au. AU is the Australian website, which means it's all legit. It's all through the government. You know, like we have to register our businesses, so you know that's good to go there. Becomingtheexpert.com.au. Now, sorry, I had to just put that little plug in. Now, I want to get an understanding. We're talking about those three steps. On your website, you've got three steps. Oh, I'm sorry. I better just check the website again. What was it called? Three steps to growing your side business. So what we've discussed is having an understanding that we can start to grow this side business. We can stay in our own work job, you know, bring in that finances, because you've got to bring the finances in to actually support the side business as well as you're kicking off. But what are these steps that you're talking about to help us start to kick off this side business?
So first of all, I call it a dual strategy. So just write that down, everyone. Dual strategy. That's where you stay safe in your job. You might be feeling a little bit disengaged, a little bit fed up, a little bit burnt out, a little bit disgruntled. But what happens when you start to seriously work on your dual strategy and build and work over here on this goal, you become happy in the now. So the job ends up being the savior because it funds everything we need over here. So just bear that in mind, that it's, you're running a dual strategy. It has a lot of benefits, and you can prove your business model before you start to think about resigning and leaving and carrying on that way. We've got to be sensible Sues. Now, a lot of people out there go, just leave your job, build the parachute on the way down, believe in yourself. If you don't believe in yourself, who's going to believe in you? And jump off the cliff and leave your job. What that does is it adds a lot of pressure. The first thing I've seen over the last 25 years is the money is dwindling. They often spend the first 6 months wasting a lot of that money that they do get from leaving the job. The second thing they do is they don't take action quick enough. So again, the money is dissipated and they end up getting under a lot of pressure financially. Now, you can't be creative and amazing writing a book and speaking and doing all the things that we're going to do together, if you're under financial duress. It's a very different energy than what you should be in. You want to be in a very creative, open, trusting type of energy. And you can't do that when you're under financial stress. So I just wanted to say I've labeled it a dual strategy. So just bear that in mind. The first step that we do is we work with doing a book. And the first thing we do is a book, because what it does is it gives you the rigor of your philosophy. Like, who are you? What do you stand for? Create the book, do the rigor of the book. And when you come out at the other end as a number one bestseller, what you've done is you've now collated your thoughts together. Now, I do that for you and with you and help you. But the book positions you as an expert. The next thing that positions you as an expert is speaking on stage. And when you speak, can you see that you're the one person in the room speaking and sharing your philosophy? And that those two things, the book and the speaking, become your sales and marketing strategy. You just, that's your marketing strategy, and that's where all your sales leads will come from. Everything else is just really either a distraction or a bit of brand awareness or a little bit of top of mind, keeping you top of mind in people's minds. So that's the first part of it. The second part of it is packaging you up. So we want to then package, and from the book, we create a brand, and a brand then becomes a website, your social media platforms. Everything has the look and feel of who you are at your core, at your soul purpose level, at your life purpose level. So we want to package you up. And then the third thing is pricing. Now, spiritual people have a lot of wounding around money, and that all needs to be resolved if you're going to be selling $10,000, $20,000 packages that we've set up in your signature program. So I show you how it's done. I show you what it looks like, but we've got to start with positioning you as the expert, which is author, speaker, packaging you up with the right brand that reflects who you are as a soul, who you are as a light being, and who you are as a personality in this particular lifetime. And then we've got to price it right, because nobody wants to buy a VW. Everyone wants to buy the Rolls Royce. And so I make sure that you're positioned and packaged as the Rolls Royce in your field of excellence, so that you can then truly do the quality transformational work that you're really after, not just a $20 book or not just a $100 online program. You really want to be a signature program at that premium level working with people to actually do the work. Because 75% of online programs are never even open or done. So to me, that's a very hollow win. Not really happy to take your $100 or $200 when I know you're not going to do the work. So that's why I set my clients up with a premium product where the work with their client actually gets done and they pay for that privilege because there's a lot of work, a lot of value in doing what they do. So that's kind of where I come from and that's what I've set up over the last sort of 25 years. And that's sort of the three steps we go through: position, packaging and pricing you correctly in your field of excellence. And who knows what that is? Some people know what their life purpose is and what their soul purpose is and others don't. And that's what we work out. Usually I can pull it out of you within about 15 minutes within that free discovery session. So that seems to be my gift, my genius zone, is people come to me going, I don't know. And it's like, fantastic, let's go and find out. And I use my intuition very strongly connecting with people at that very beginning phase. Because firstly, I only want to work with people that I want to work with, that are right for my soul. And I only want, to work with people that are sort of willing to do the work, that are sick of waiting to start their life purpose or waiting to do their soul expression in the world. And so, yeah, it just seems to be my gift. I'm able to sort it out often with 5, 10, 15 minutes and boom, they're like, whoa, I've been searching for that for 20 years or my whole life. How did you work that out? Well, my guides talk to your guides and they've been telling you all along, but you weren't listening. So they tell my guides and they channel through me, and that you believe because it's physically in front of you. And so that's my job.
Yeah, because I was just about to ask, so how can you do that? And what, but you've just answered all that question. So you've jumped ahead of me.
Now I've got to think of magic. It's my magic. What I've been given is that ability to do that. I mean, I'm sure everyone can do it. It's just I do it so often that it's become a bit of a honed skill. Yes. But I love when people don't know because it's really clear to me what it is. And I get them to tell me their story. Like they just simply tell me their story. I get them to just talk. And inside the story, I can see all the breadcrumbs, all the clues. And then I start to say, okay, at the end of that 5-minute sort of speech that they've given me about who they are, where they've been, what they're kind of thinking about, what they're into, what are their hobbies, what have they always, been attracted to, and boom, I then feed that back to them and they're like, how did you know that? And it's like it's just that obvious. Once they hear it, there's no putting that genie back in the bottle. It's impossible. So whether they work with me or not, they have a direction, they have a focus to now go and do a dual strategy on.
Right. Okay, so what you're saying is that free, you've got on your website a free complimentary consultation. Yeah. That's what they're getting from that consultation. Wow, that is huge.
Yeah, it's my gift to the world because not everybody can afford my program. Not everybody can be focused for 12 months and work on this stuff. A lot of spiritual people are broken up into two camps. There's the ones that are filled with fear that if they take it out of the Akashic records and bring it down into the 3D world, down into Earth, down into this dimension, that it will lose all its magic. And so they never do anything about it. They just love that it's all up there, protected, it's ethereal, it's magical, it's flowy. No one can judge it. No one can touch it. No one can hurt it. And it just stays up there as a beautiful dream. And then they die with regrets. And then the other side of the camp is the people that so desperately want to bring it down. They desperately want to manifest it here on the earth. They really want to be the magician in the tarot card pack. Go and grab the magician in the tarot pack and bring it out in front of you for the next week or two. And they really, and just look at what he's doing. He's bringing it down into the earth, bringing it down onto the Mother Earth where it manifests. Anything you see in the world, anything you see in the world that's built is masculine energy. And so what spiritual people want to do is get, they'll use their feminine energy in the womb to create the idea and inspire the idea and gestate the idea and birth the idea, but it's handing it over then to the masculine energy to then create the structure. And what spiritual people are only just starting to realize now, that it's masculine and feminine energy that will do the work and working together to make it happen. Whereas the last 25 years, 30 years, 40 years even, has all been about the feminine energy in their spiritual work instead of masculine and feminine energy in their life. And so yes, once we bring that together, that's where the action starts to happen. So in my astrology chart, funnily enough, there is a masculine and feminine reading that you get in some of these charts, and I'm actually 50-50. So it's interesting that I talk about masculine and feminine energy, the balancing of the masculine and the feminine energy, talk about it all the time, because to me, the feminine energy is only going to birth the idea that the baby often dies because there's no action, there's no handing it over to the masculine energy. And so a lot of spiritual people have a lot of stillbirths, a lot of babies that are never really born properly. So this is why, is because they haven't got it, they haven't got in touch with the masculine energy side of them. So what I like to do is work with both and really balancing those two energies out. And then when you rock and roll with two energies like this and they intertwine, anything's possible. You can do anything. You've got enough get up and go power, focus, action to actually make your dreams come true. Whereas the feminine energy on her own, she just wants everything beautiful and in her womb, and she wants to protect it. And sometimes she doesn't even want to birth it, because remember, yes, in the womb, it's all protected and beautiful. Once you bring that baby out into the world, it is open for judgment. It is. And spiritual people don't want that judgment. But who cares about what other people think? What other people think of you is none of your goddamn business. So it doesn't even matter.
Exactly. But it's true that, like, I could remember going through, you know, my 30s, 40s, 50s and having all these wonderful ideas and wonderful ideas.
That's but never actually,
yeah, never actually engaging that until, well, until I felt comfortable enough to actually start to put it forward and do some of the things. But majority of times it's usually an upheaval. Like you're saying, you're in a regular job and you don't feel comfortable. You're not feeling happy. There's something going on, and that's where we're sort of going, okay, we need to look at something else. And yeah, often it's not until that, well, catastrophe, for another want of another word, but often it's not until something like that happens, this challenge happens, before we actually take those steps. I went back to uni when I was 48 because I was going to do something else, studying again, oh, for goodness sake. Learning again. And I did a three-year course 6 months after, and I knew I needed to do that. And I think it's because of the technology that I have now. I knew I needed to do the course, but again, probably didn't read all the signs properly, but got some of them, and followed that, and it was really good. But 6 months after I finished the course, the uni degree, the government changed hands and wiped out all the jobs. So I've never been able to use that uni degree in the context that it was designed for, like, you know, why I did it. It was health promotion. It's a health promotion. And I studied epidemics and pandemics. But, of course, none of that was going to happen in 2011, was it? So so it's funny how it just it comes along. We're seeing those signs. We're reading them. And I guess where I'm going with this, Katrina, is that we've often feel like we're failing. You know, okay, we're starting to birth these ideas, like I did with, I left my kids, my kids had left home, but I left my family locally. I put a manager in my business. I put renters in my home and I moved to the Gold Coast to study. You know, so it was a huge upheaval. And then when I find out that I spent $30,000 on that course, on that degree, and then 6 months later having nothing, you sort of think, well, what the hell? You know, like, I know that they were the signs. Everything fell into place so easily. What the hell? What did I go wrong? What did I do?
And did you ever have a degree before?
No.
Okay, so who told you that degrees will give you a sense of satisfaction, or where was the status for you? So to me, a degree often is a sense of low self-esteem, where they feel that they need that status. Yeah, they need that status.
Absolutely.
And once they've got the brand of status, yeah.
Yeah, I just finished a 20-year emotionally abusive relationship. I don't think I could have got any lower in my self-esteem than I could possibly get. And that's with the signs. That's what I mean. Yeah. The signs were there. It was the right path because it got me away from all of that. So it was.
Yes.
I'm not disagreeing on the path now because I can reflect back. But at the time, it was very, very devastating. It was so challenging to do all this and then have no control over that. And that's when I went, well, I've got to use these skills to do something else. And that's when I started writing my book. That's where I went. But I guess, that, like I said, I'm bringing this forward because I want people to understand that you're following the right path. You're following those signs and those symbols and you're following your intuition. Don't be really disheartened if it doesn't work out the way you perceive it to work out.
In fact, it will never work out the way you perceive it. The way I see magic with the universe is I see that we can go and set goals all we like and the universe just laughs in our face. It's hilarious. They love that these little humans are saying, and I'm going to do this. And if we actually have a look at our life is very intuitive. It's happened in a really unusual and amazing way. And if we knew it was going to go that way, we would have tried to probably shift it and change it. And when we do try to go against the flow of nature and the flow of our own nature, and we try to follow somebody else's dreams or somebody else's goal or somebody else's way, it tends to go a little bit wrong. And I find that whenever you do put out a spell or you pull out a goal or you manifest something, it always comes with a twist. The universe will always give it a twist, and it's their way of evolving us. It's their way of evolving us. So the twist is the lesson within that thing. So you wanted that thing, you can have that thing, but it will come at a price, and that's the twist. And so always look out for the twist, because it's our little brains as humans is only so far that we can visualize and imagine. The universe's intelligence is just beyond our comprehension. And so that's where the twist comes in. We go, aha. And that's what aha moments are. It's the twist within the universal intelligence that we could never have imagined. Never.
Yes, that's exactly right. I really like that. But and I guess that's where I was going with it. It's like the twist is it's like the cherry on the top, isn't it?
Yeah.
That twist is that understanding behind it all.
Yeah. I'm just picking up a whole bunch of stuff around that story, Susan, for you, that the getting away. So the universe works in the path of least resistance. So with the university degree, it said, if we give her that idea, that inspiration, that gets her away, that gets her moving, that gets her changing her life and takes her from here to here in the quickest way. They also gave you a degree because they said, right, well, that shall do. That seems safe and sensible to everybody on the outside. A degree, everyone understands that. Whereas if you had said, I'm buying a van and going around Australia by myself, nobody would have understood that. Everyone would have been scared for you. But I'm going away to study for 3 years. Everyone goes, I'm calm. I understand that. There's no hassles. And at that time,
it's probably the opposite half the time.
Really? Everyone was freaking out? All right.
People sort of go, why are you doing that? Like, what's the point? And one of the things too, and this is why I knew it was all right. One of the things too, my sister, younger sister, had just been diagnosed with brain cancer. And so she was going to pass Well, she did pass halfway through the exam, or halfway through the, yeah, just before the exam, halfway through the a degree. And one of the things that she said to me is, why are you doing that? And that I did double take on that, but I just felt deep down that's what I needed to get me going and to get me pushed forward. I very rarely talk about the degree. I don't use it, very
No.
rarely have it there. It doesn't really mean a lot to me. If I have to pull it out of the hat, it's usually for the masculine energy to prove something. But otherwise, it's really strange. But I had a lot of pushback, and I feel the pushback was not about me, but about them.
Yeah,
My girlfriend turned around and said, "Why are you doing that? You know, like, what if you don't get in?" And I said, "If I don't get in on that course, I'll
don't
just
get in
do
on.
another one.
Gosh.
Who cares?" Like, you
So
know.
funny, the fears that come up for people, it's just extraordinary.
Yeah, and getting that understanding between the fears and knowing that is that's when we do get that pushback, where people will push back and we start to question ourselves. But I know, as I say, the ducks all lined up. I needed to go there, and I thought it was to get a degree. Obviously, it wasn't just to get a degree, but that is
Gave you
how it
so
felt
much
to
more.
me.
Yeah, it
Yeah.
gives you so much more. What it says to me when I hear that in the clues, I hear discipline, and when she starts something, she will finish something. So that tells me that you're a serious player and that you're worth investing my time and effort into, because when you start something, you will complete it. Whereas a lot of other people are a bit flaky, they start a whole bunch of stuff and never finish anything. They've got shiny pebble syndrome. And so a big degree like that, something that's 3 years in the making, really says a whole bunch about who you are and how you understand what it takes to complete a project from A to B.
And I will put my hand up and say, my book, oh, it's shocking.
Degree, isn't it? A to B, but you finished it, you did it.
Yeah, and I have had it redone and republished and everything else, and it's fine now. But yeah, it definitely wasn't an Amazon bestseller. But I also understand the concept behind that too now. But yeah, it's really interesting. So we haven't got a lot more time left. I just want to just ask a little bit more about becoming the expert. Why is it so important to become an expert? Because sometimes we look at the word expert and you sort of go, oh, they bit up themselves, you know, like, and that's an Australian saying. So sorry for the people in America. It's like you're better than everyone else, which, you know, actually you are. But here in Australia, we do have that tall poppy syndrome where they like to cut you down. So when you're saying becoming an expert, what does that mean? Like, why is that important?
It's a really, 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 really good question, because a lot of people will be unattracted and repel that concept because they think, oh, I'm not an expert. I can't do it. I never want to label myself an expert, because we have the tall poppy syndrome. In the spiritual world, we have to be humble and modest for the rest of our lives and never stick our head above anybody else. The way I explain it to get my clients over that hump, because they need to get over that hump. I can't just leave them in that belief, because that belief is not true. What I want people to realize is it's becoming the expert in your field of excellence. And so when you have a look at your mixing bowl that we're going to make the cake out of, nobody has your upbringing, nobody has your 20 different certificates, nobody has your life experience exactly the same as you. You have all these ingredients that we then mix up into your cake, and that's what you're the expert in, your cake. And so once you realize that it's not about anybody else, it's not about saying you're better than anybody else, only you know your story, only you know your expertise and the way it's put together and clicked in for you. This is your cake. You're becoming the expert in your cake. Now, once the cake comes out of the oven, you then want to decorate it, and that's your branding. That is unique to you, and it's an expression of you in the world. So you are the expert in your field of excellence. And so you don't know how people don't know how to bring their excellence together. That's my job. I bring the cake and all the ingredients together, and we bake the cake, we decorate the cake, and we put the little cherry on top, and boom, that's what you're the expert in. And that, I'm sure you can receive. Surely you can receive your own expertise. And that,
well, well, if you can't, no one else can.
That's nobody else gives a shit. So, you know. So, you know, if people don't accept their own expertise, then that's fine. You just carry on saying, oh, no, it's more important for me to be humble and modest and just keep my head down and be miserable and then get bitter because they've wasted the last 20 years just being bitter and not taking any action. To me, intuition is all about listening at the very beginning when it starts talking to you. If you listen at the very beginning when it's just a little whisper, it's just a little howdy-ho, it's before you get bitter. Now, if you don't listen and it keeps knocking, it gets louder, it gets louder, it gets louder, and as you say, it can turn into dis-ease and it can turn into you know, being retrenched, and it can turn into being sacked, and it can turn into being absolutely miserable. It escalates until you listen. Now, humans, for some reason, require pain to change, require pain to take action. Don't be that type of human. Listen to the little tiny whispers when it's saying, are you feeling a little bit bored in your job? And that's the beginning. Boredom is the beginning of a change. Bitterness is the end when you've left it for 10 years. That's not the time to make changes, because you go out into the world and try and build a business based on your bitterness energy instead of your boredom energy. You want to interview for new jobs, or you want to build a business in this energy. Like, I'm a bit bored. Oh, let me have a think about it. What do I want now? What's my next chapter look like? And it's all really exciting and curiosity. Whereas if you leave it for 10 years and you're like bitter and you're like, nothing ever works out for me and everyone else can do it but I can't do it, and who am I? I'm so humble. I'm so modest. Aren't I amazing? But I'm sitting here in my shit and I'm going to stay here. Well, you've got to go out into the world like that. How's that possible? It's going to be really tough. Do it at the very early. And that's what I learned really early on in my life, is I listened. The minute I was bored, I'd start making changes.
Yeah. Look, we're getting low on time, Katrina. Sorry, I don't mean to shut you down. You got 2 seconds to any last questions, and we've put up your website. The website will be on the description down underneath where they can contact you. But any quick last messages that you've got before we say goodbye? Oh,
thank you for having me, Susan. It's been absolutely fun. I've had a lot of fun, as you can tell, when I'm talking like this about things that I love, like intuition and magic. You just have me at hello. So I look forward to having free discovery sessions with people and finding their expression in the world. And perhaps one day you'll become the expert in your field of excellence. Lots of love. Mwah.
Thank you so much. That was wonderful. Okay, got to say goodbye. Jump onto the website. Have a look at it. So it is becomingtheexpert.com.au. It's fantastic. It's she's got so much on there. And look, hey, it's not going to cost you anything to get a free call. Find out where your passion is. Find out your expertise, what it is that you can do. And, you know, it's amazing. Like, we don't have these opportunities very often. If you can grab that one before paying $30,000 like poor Katrina did for nothing, you know, at least you know where you stand and know where you're going. Then you can make an informed decision, which is really good. Okay, share, subscribe, like the podcast, get it out there, share it with your friends. It'd be really lovely. We really appreciate that. But I am Susan Jane. I'm saying bye for now because I've run out of things to say. Okay. So you guys, see you next week. Bye for now.